But first to Germany, and even without this week's terrible shootings in Hanau, Angela Merkel, its Chancellor, must be reflecting on how not many of even your best laid plans as a powerful leader do necessarily unfold as you intend. In 2018, for instance, Ms. Merkel announced that Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, known as AKK, would be her successor to lead the Christian Democratic Union. AKK was billed as a rising star in German politics, someone who could possibly take over as German Chancellor in 2021 and help steady the good ship Europe. But 2 weeks ago, she was brought down by a political scandal involving Germany's far-right AfD, the Alternative for Germany. The scandal, its aftermath, and the dangerous history it evokes have all caused ruptures across Germany and across post-Brexit Europe. Andreas Kluth is a writer and editor at Bloomberg Opinion and the former editor-in-chief at Handelsblatt Global. I spoke to him from Austria before the events in Hanau and welcomed him to the program.
Great to be there. Thank you, Geraldine.
For those of us not quite up with German political minutiae, could we just step through quickly some of what happened, please? Why did AKK resign?
She resigned first because for the past 12 months, she's been sinking in the polls. So at the time when she was supposed to establish herself as the obvious heir apparent, she sort of did the obvious and kept fumbling, even though she became defense minister in that time. So she was weakened. And then about 2 weeks ago, something strange and complicated happened in one of the 16 states of the Federal Republic of Germany. In the former East Germany, the state is called Thuringia, and her own party, the Christian Democrats, in that state defied her or appeared to defy her instructions and allowed themselves to be wrapped up in a maneuver by the far right party. It's called the Alternative for Germany. And because they seemed to defy her, she lost any remaining credibility she had, and she basically fell on her sword. It was a surprise at the time, but I think it was the right thing. She basically said, I'm not going to be the candidate for chancellor, and I will eventually, sometime this year, step down as chairman of the party, the Christian Democratic Union, as well.
That word maneuver is clever. Whether the CDU, the local CDU, made a conscious alliance with the far right, or whether they were tricked. It looks as if it matters here. It doesn't seem to have mattered in Germany. The fact that it occurs at all has set off, as I think you wrote, this extraordinary round of soul-searching in Germany about who are we becoming.
Yes, and that's the challenge for the party now as they look for a new leader, but in a sense for all the centrist or democratic party of the mainstream in Germany. What exactly do you do with the populists on the far right, or, by the way, the far left, and the Christian Democrats, especially in Thuringia? They were caught between those two parties because they had basically ruled out working with them. But what does working with mean? For instance, there was no, as you just suggested, and it was a bit of a complicated deal, but the trap laid was that they unknowingly or they had plausible deniability that they voted for a state governor and it got that governor elected with the votes of the Christian Democrats and another small party and the far right. But the far right had sort of secretly switched its allegiance. And so now a candidate was elected by these three parties. And as you said, that wasn't really the plan, but even that counted as collaboration. And it just doesn't fly in a country that had Hitler and the Nazis and stuff. You cannot be seen to be on the same side as the far right.
Well, Thuringia in particular is infamous, isn't it, for being the place where the Nazis first came to power at that state level. Is it a far right stronghold? Would you say that?
Yes, but not because of that distant history of, and you're right, I mean, it was, as the Germans say, a brown place. It was brown, like the brown shirts. I think all of East Germany has that problem, is that they didn't grapple during the 45 years they were behind the Iron Curtain with the Nazi past, and they went straight into that other dictatorship, the communist one. During that time, the West Germans grappled with their past and I think went quite a long way in figuring some stuff out. And then the wall came down And now the East Germans have this narrative of, oh, God, this was not a merger. This was an acquisition. We were taken over by the West. And they already hadn't grappled with the past. So there is definitely, there are, every poll shows that East Germans are more frustrated by political correctness, mainstream democracy, they don't believe in it, the mainstream media, and they are, for instance, in Thuringia, it is very interesting, it's the majority of seats in that parliament belong either to the far left, which is the party that descends from the Communist Party of East Germany, or the far right, the Alternative for Germany. So the two extremist parties in that state parliament have a majority of seats. That's part of the problem. So you're right, there is something in the water that is a little bit frightening there in these pockets of East Germany.
Why haven't the centrists been able to mount a decent reply to all this?
In the state of Thuringia, they haven't, because they're the centrists are in the minority, as I just said, and are themselves sort of in that culture. And for instance, the Christian Democrats are torn about, well, is the AfD, the Alternative for Germany, are they so bad as everyone says in the West and outside the country? In the country as a whole, in Germany, I think the centrists do have a chance of coming up with a reply and figuring it out. But that's what this this new situation is now about, as because this, the two traditional mainstream parties, the Social Democrats, they just made fools out of themselves in a ridiculous process, but they just chose two new leaders. And now the other party, the Christian Democrats, they have to choose a new leader. And so now we have weeks and months of this, and there's a lot of politicking. But the one of the big topics is, as they choose that new leader, is, well, how are we going to deal with this challenge? So they may yet deal with it.
Look, just as an aside, do you agree with the interpretation that in particular it's disenfranchised men in the East? The AfD particularly has this amazing support from Eastern men, a lot of whom watched their women leave for the West when the war came down. Do you think this is it's a gender playing a role here?
Yes, I definitely think so. We're now sort of putting an entire half of a country on the couch, and we won't be able to prove this scientifically, but I completely agree from little sort of personal. And by the way, one of those women, those East German women that left them, is the Chancellor,
yes,
of course.
Quite.
She's an East German woman.
Yes.
And in that theory, which is sort of widespread, but it's, as you can appreciate, it's politically incorrect in Germany to say so openly. That's why I'm very glad to be talking to Australians who won't be on the airwaves here. I completely agree, because I think what happened in the three decades since the reunification, since the wall came down, was that a lot of the East Germans didn't do well. Some of the East German women did figure it out, in part by leaving for the West or shacking up with Western men. And the East German men of a certain generation felt emasculated. And I'll just leave it there. I think it's obvious. I mean, it psychologically, it makes sense. They feel left behind. They feel like second-class immigrants. And that definitely, to me, makes plausible. And in conversations when I was reporting there, they sometimes even say it. So if these East German men feel like second-class citizens or emasculated, suddenly then in 2015, also buses of new young brown men from Syria showed up.
Oh, yes.
And that was just, that put them over the edge.
So the Christian Democrats don't have a nominated leader. But beyond that, what does this resignation and political mess mean for their future?
They do have a caretaker leader. AKK still sort of manages it. And then they do, and this has been part of the problem, have an unofficial leader, which is the chancellor, even though she's no longer has a formal office leading the party. Those two women are centrist, and they're women, and they'd like to manage this behind the scenes, basically, in an amicable way. And this week, for instance, AKK, as you introduced her, is having conversations with all the candidates. However, it's slipped out of the two women's control, and there are more and new candidates that they didn't expect, and some of them may find it in their interest to now call for a vote of part of the party membership, of the base, and so forth, even though that's not part of the German traditions. And so what's ahead of them in the next few weeks is, will the two women and the one or two other candidates that are moderates, will they do essentially a deal the way it would have been done in the past in Germany? Or will this become almost Americanized? Will this be based on polls? Who's the most popular candidate? And they'll go on talk shows and hurl mud at each other. And right now it's on the edge. We don't know which way. And two of the candidates are people who were big men. They're all men so far. Who were big years ago and basically were run over by Angela Merkel. There are many men. We were speaking about emasculation earlier, and they're dying for revenge, and they want to go back and take the party right, far right. I mean, not far right, I'm sorry, but very conservative. And they also argued that's the way to answer the alternative for Germany. If we become more conservative again, a lot of those supporters for the AfD will come back. And some of the others are younger or more moderate and will say, no, Angela Merkel has modernized the party. Let's not break with that tradition the last 10 years. Let's stay modern. Let's stay centrist. And that's also sort of part of the decision that party has to make.
And The Economist says this debate is only just beginning. The greatest favour that Mrs. Merkel could do her country, says The Economist, would be to force the pace by announcing her imminent departure. Germany must not go on like this. Do you agree?
I've been saying that for a long time, by the way, already when I myself was at The Economist. But Angela Merkel, I mean, she's been chancellor she's in year 14. She's still there. She's just amazing at this. I do agree because there is complete stagnation and Germany is the largest country in the European Union. After Brexit, it has even more weight and there's a standstill in the EU in Brussels because of German inaction. France calls for big things. Germany doesn't respond at all. It doesn't say no. It doesn't say yes. It says nothing because it's just waiting. Okay. So that has to end. It does get a bit more complicated than my successor there at The Economist allowed, because what would happen? The way of calling elections and having them is not as fast as a snap election in Britain. And if she steps down, she has a coalition partner, the government. The Social Democrats have said, but basically they wouldn't carry any other Christian Democrat as chancellor. So we would have to go to a new election, and then we'd open it up. We would have about 6 months of chaos, and hopefully then something new and something fresh, and Germany would be back at the table with the French in Brussels taking care of stuff. So I do agree she should probably step down.
Andreas, thank you very much indeed for that overview.
Thank you, Geraldine. Always fun to talk to you.
Andreas Kluth, a writer and editor with Bloomberg Opinion.